eliminate them from our minds. So sometimes it's good just to quiet for a moment and wait for the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, again we are coming here before you, encouraged by the teaching of the Church that is inviting us during this Lenten season to come to know you more deeply, more beautifully, more intimately, more personally. So Lord, help us to walk toward you with eyes of our faith. Our faith is teaching us that you are here, that we stand before you, O Lord, that you are God and a Father at the same time, loving Father and Almighty. You can do all things, Lord. To stand before you, give us comfort because you ask us to pray, to come to you, to come to know you, to come to learn to receive from you what you want to give us, because your love is leading us to our ultimate goal, eternal life. Help us to hear you, Lord. Help us not our hearts to be hardened, but open to your voice today. And humbly we admit it, Lord, we need even grace for that, be able to hear you. We need grace, and your Holy Spirit pour on us this virtue of a faith and trust and love and hope. So we depend completely on you, but at the same time, Lord, whatever we have within us and around us, we want to surrender to you today and want to ask you, Lord, speak to us and lead us wherever you want to go. Here we are. We want to do your will. And even though we don't know what it will be, what you tell us today, we want to hold on to it with a trust and a humility, understand that we cannot carry it without your help. And we ask, Blessed Mother, for your help, for your intercession as well, because you are Queen of Heaven, and you desire us to love your Son, to know your Son, and to be intimately in love with him. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so welcome back. This is our sixth evening of the topic, Lenten Mission. The topic is God Within, and it is reason why we are talking about God Within. Last we will talk about prayer of heart. Can you hear me back there? Can you hear me well? I have a new mic. I can on both hands. This is fantastic. I can use my Italian now. Yeah, but if you don't hear me, just raise your hand and let me know. So there is something new today. As you know, we don't have a new handout. These are old handouts which you have with you. So that's what is old, what is new. Something what remains is that you don't have a new handouts, but you still have to do the penance. Listen to me for hour and a half today. So that's your penance. One of those things is that I really don't like to hear what I say, so I never go through that back. But one day I was forced just to see what I said. And it's so difficult for me to listen to myself, because you know what you want to say and then you learn what you said, and it's quite different. But you know, don't you feel sometimes that way, that you know that you are weak in certain area and you feel bad about yourself, and then you find somebody who is weaker and you say, yeah, good. You know? And or you feel like you're horrible sinners and you made somebody say, yeah, good, I'm not so bad. You know? And sometimes when I speak, I said, man, everybody is English speaking here, I feel so bad, but I found something what helps me, I tell you. I found some announcement from the bulletins, which helps me to feel pretty good about myself, because those are written by Americans. And listen, I am pretty sure what they wanted to say, but it came out a different way. Listen to it. Thursday potluck supper. That's an announcement in bulletin. In bulletin said, prayer and medication to follow. So, Thursday night at 5 p.m., there will be meeting of Little Mother's Club. all wishing to become little mothers, please see minister in his private study. Yeah. This afternoon we'll be meeting in the south and the north end of the church. Children will be baptized at both ends. This being Easter Sunday, we ask Mrs. Lewis to come forward and lay egg upon the altar. Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. at First Presbyterian Church. Please use the double door on the side. This evening topic, sermon topic will be What is Hell? Come earlier and listen to our choir practice. You know, the other time, on a night I was speaking in one church, and a guy sent me email, and he said, thank you for your very challenging and inspiring talk. I suppose you could say in American terms, you rattled my cage. And here is my Slovak mind. I said, rattle my cage. I have no clue what he's talking about. So I went on internet and said, what the rattle, what it means. And he says, to be severely irritated and annoyed. And I said, wow. So I sent him apologizing email, said, no, that's not what I meant. So maybe you know what it means. But so again, if you hear me saying something that doesn't make sense, raise your hand. I may correct myself, or you may think or wish that I didn't say it because it's challenging, and I will just confirm that that's true. So whatever it is. So why we don't have a new handout? Because I feel that we have not finished two previous topics and I didn't go into details. And I want to bring it a little bit into summary. Remember last week we were talking about three levels of heart, but we didn't go deeper under the third level, and we will say a few stories about it. But previously we were talking about what it means, what is authentic Catholic spirituality. And we said it's not feeling and it's not emotions and it's not just following the rules, but it's following Christ and following Him more closely. So I think I have your highlights. And I gave you this in your handouts, and Eller elaborated a little bit more about some of these topics. But as we spoke about those topics, I didn't go too far. I remember I wanted to invite you into really following Christ and hearing Him what He's telling us. Because this is Lenten season, and we are preparing ourselves to meet Christ at His Last Supper and at His crucifixion and His resurrection. If we will try to understand these great mysteries, and they are truly mysteries, and many people, as I told you, many people may think that mysteries are not for us. They are for all of us. You know why I know it? Because remember, on the beginning of the Mass, we are told, in order to celebrate these mysteries, let us call to mind our sins. If we cannot enter into mysteries, Church will never invite us into them. So we need to be open to those mysteries. But once we will come to understand the Holy Week, what had happened there, we will learn to celebrate every Mass. Because on every Mass, we re-enter into the one and only sacrifice. What is happening at the Mass, it's a one-time thing. And even though we may celebrate it in the Mass spiritually, or let's say in the realities, we are entering into Calvary. We are there. Because that moment is so powerful. There is only one sacrifice. But in the spirit and truth, we can enter into that celebration of the one sacrifice. So there are mysteries within us. But to follow Christ more closely requires from us, and I gave you those 8 points here, commitment, renunciation, we need to imitate Christ. And we spend only on those two passages because there where Jesus Christ revealed first time to His apostles that He is going to die. And picture yourself, put yourself in the shoes of apostles who gave up everything, gave the business in hope, many of them in hope that Christ is going to renew the kingdom on earth. that he is probably going to overcome Roman Empire, and Jewish people will be again the greatest nation on earth. That's what they were hoping. How do we know it? Remember in Acts of Apostles, after resurrection of Jesus Christ, right in the first chapters, apostles ask him, are you now going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And Jesus went to heaven. You know, sometimes there are the shocking realities because we expect something to God to deliver, but many times it is quite different. So here Jesus Christ spoke to apostles and first time revealed to them after they left everything and followed him for probably a couple of years that he is going to die. And they didn't receive it pretty well. We'll talk a little bit later how Peter responded according to Saint Matthew. But we spoke here about Saint Luke. But then Jesus, when he revealed the fullness of the truth about him, then he spoke to apostles and speaks to us as well. And he said this, do you wish to be my disciples? Take these words as a personal invitation of Christ, who will never force you, but he invites you. Because he invites us into that kingdom of God. Remember on the map, when we were drawing the map, that Jesus Christ came on earth, not that Jesus will be one of us, but because he came to humble himself, that he will share in our humanity, that we may partake in his divinity. He came to divinize us, elevate us, and he told us, repent, for the kingdom, the end, the kingdom of God is at hand. That's our goal. And we are speaking about that we are here in the physical world, and to be fully alive, we need to be intellectual, academic beings, and spiritual beings, mystical beings as well. That's what is oneness. And that's what we want to do always, look at our life in the oneness of who we are. To be fully alive means to be fully alive in all three areas, physically, intellectually, and spiritually. And they want to keep it in our mind. So Jesus Christ invited apostles and he says, so do you wish? It's a free will. And he's asking us today, it's going to cost you. He never promised easy life. And he said, if you do, you need to deny yourself. You need to let your own plans go and you need to pick up your cross daily and follow me. And we know that he went on the Mount Tabor, encouraged apostles. But then as he continued from the Mount Tabor, the Bible said that he resolutely determined to go to Jerusalem. And he's inviting us on the journey to go with him to Jerusalem. Knowing what is going to happen, we know it too. But he told us, do not be afraid. You know, do not be afraid. When apostles were so overconfident, Jesus told them, you are overconfident, but soon you will all leave me alone. But I will not be alone because my Father is with me. And many times we too need that knowledge that Christ is with us, because if everybody will forsake us, we need to have that confidence in God. Because if we don't have him, we don't have anything. But when we have him in all circumstances, we are living in the faith and the trust that is with us, and the strength which we receive are his words, because he said, but I am not alone because Father is with me. In the world you will have trouble, but take courage. I have overcome the world. So let us listen to this word. And he's inviting apostles and us to follow him. And of course, then we went through that he called a few people, I will follow you wherever you go. And then when Jesus said, well, what is it going to cost you losing everything? There's no answer. Another person said, well, I need to still follow the rules of I need to bury my father. I need to do these things. And he said, no, if I call you, you follow me. You need to trust me that I'm going to take care of everything else. Trust is absolutely necessary. And then to another person said, come follow me. I said, well, let me first part a little bit and then I will follow you. And he said, if you put your hands on a plow and you look back, you are not worthy. Okay, you are not worthy. Those are challenging words. And then even more challenging words was in the 14th chapter when we went to that passage when Jesus had many followers. And he turned to them and approached them and says, if you follow me without hating your father, mother, children, and brothers, even your life, you cannot be my disciple. You know? And I share with you this story. My wife was here I wanted to bring her everywhere, and she escaped to the other state. she doesn't like to speak in front of people. But yeah, she shared with you. But I always say that she is truly sane. Why? Because I think I mentioned to you, do you know what is number one when Holy Church is looking for when it's canonization of the people? Number one, it's not miracles. When they consider canonization, they don't look if there are miracles happen. You know what is number one? Church looks at if there is heroic virtue. If there is no heroic virtues, they don't even care about miracles. So heroic virtue, and I tell you, it was very heroic because when we came here, my wife, we didn't have money, we didn't have a house, didn't have a car, didn't have anybody, didn't have friends, we didn't have uncles, aunts, grandparents, nobody. We had $18 cash in the pocket when we landed here in the United States in 1991. Where were you in 1991? You probably spoke English. You were advanced. You probably had a house. You probably had a job. You probably had a car. And many people say, I cannot afford another child. I know what it means not to afford. You know, there is something what has changed in today's society. When you read the Bible, you know what is the greatest blessing for couples? To have a children. Today, there are greatest obstacles. You have the great advertisement, unplanned movie. Go and see it. Everybody who didn't see it, go. See, it's wonderful. Because I tell you, when I grew up here, the speaking to people, they will rather take another job, rather start another business more than have another child. Because the child is something what you cannot put on a hook and just go away. You know, because the many times our own battles was... when you hear people who are going once a week, feeding hungry and clothing naked and help, in downtown and in homeless shelter, many people feel good about it. We didn't have a time because we had 24 hours feeding hungry, clothing naked. They were constantly there, didn't go at night and evening during the day and raised 10 children for my wife. I tell you, it's heroic without any help. So I truly consider her to be holy woman, saint, so I'm blessed to have her. And then on the other hand, she grew up because of that spiritually so deeply that sometimes it's so irritated to have such holy woman next to me because she see all my faults and she see all the details why I am doing certain things and she can point it pretty clearly to me. So, yeah. Let me just go a little bit into some other points here. But I ask you to go and ponder on that and pray with that. Did you have a chance to go there? Did you finish those? Because I provided you a lot of passages from the scripture which you could take. That because, as I told you, remember on the beginning I said, what is the goal of an Ipso ministry? Is to lead the souls that they will come to know God. And then we said, no, God is more than to read the Bible. It's more than to study about him or learn about his teaching. But it's even more than to listen to somebody who talks about him. I'm talking about him, but I'm not him. So I want you to go there. So my role is to lead you to him, not just to follow certain rules, certain instruction, but through those instruction, as we are talking here, that God has given us this 10 commandments, you know, when we go here, 10 commandments, sacraments, Bible, catechism, all these things are good, but they should lead us into knowledge of God, into personal relationship. If I live only by checking those marks that I do follow all these, the laws, I'm following the letter, but not the person. So let us look at the I just hope that you will continue, take it home and ponder on that. I just invite you to examine where you are in relationship with God here. Imitation of Christ. How to imitate him? There was a few years ago, there was a fame, people had this wristbands with a WWJD, you know, what would Jesus do, you know? And there was a priest who said... it is very popular, but in reality is a little bit heresy. You know why? Because picture that what you are saying. What would Jesus do? Because if Jesus lived 2,000 years ago, he's now dead, but he left us book. He left us Bible, and today I have a Bible, and I need to come and say, what he would do if he would be today here in my shoes? The reality, he is here today. He is alive. He is constantly with us. The real question is, what is he doing? Because even the Bible is living word, and everything what is happening within our life, God is absolutely under control. So everything, in every moment, we can find him. Remember when we were talking first night about Moses seeing something happen in the bush? That was quite extraordinary, but in ordinary situation, God was there too when he taught him perseverance, fortitude, faith, and trust, when he allowed Pharaoh to block the door, when people rejected him. In all those circumstances, in our families, in our places where we are, God is forming us. Next week I will bring to you, it's just coming to my mind, the quote from Saint, you can find it, it's called Precautions by Saint John of the Cross. He was advising people who were going into monastery, said, be aware of this. In monastery, you are going to have people who are going to misinterpret you. There are going to be people who are going to misunderstand you. There are going to be people who are going to speak badly about you. And in everything, is God is providing for you tools how he's going to make you saint. If you are not aware of that, then you are looking at them as an obstacle. If you are aware, you are looking at that, that is God using the chisel and makes you a holy person through the circumstances of the daily life. So we don't go to monasteries, but our monasteries are our domestic churches, our families, our life. And in all those circumstances of the daily life, we can come to know Christ. If we are aware that usually, we know when we say, thy kingdom come and thy will be done, I am always, my director told me, you know why you get frustrated, why you're angry? Because your will is not done. That's it. Do you have other reason to be frustrated? Only when things don't go as you want. If they go as you want, you are not frustrated, you are not angry. So God provides for me things which is not my will, but his will, that he gives me the child that cries or wives that misunderstands me, and I have opportunity to know him and practice the virtue. So what would Jesus do? How can I imitate him? Jesus Christ, there was a great moment when he invited us to be like him. Do you know what it was? It was quite humbling in a situation because he met many proud Jewish people. It is in Matthew 11. You know, he announced how people look at him because they judge him because he was eating and drinking, and they call him there's a glutton and drunkard. And John the Baptist didn't drink, and they call him to be crazy or to possessed by demons. So doesn't matter what people tell about you, how they see you, we go by that. Did you go to Mass today? They're reading the freedom Jesus Christ is. I'm not going by the human standards. I'm not worried about what people think about me. All I care is about is the will of my Father. That's it. Simple. That's a freedom. That's a beautiful freedom. But many people rejected who were quite prideful. And when I ponder on this passage, because Jesus Christ in his life performed miracles in only a few places, and yet people only heard about it, and even people from pagan territories came and begged Jesus for healing their children, family members. You know what? And Jesus said many times that their faith is greater than my own people. Remember the woman from Tyre? That's a pagan territory. And she said, can you give me? And she called him Son of David. She is a pagan, and she knew where he's coming from. For she acknowledged him who he is. I know who you are. You are Son of David. Help my daughter. And Jesus ignored her. You know, and she continued persevering. I need your help. My daughter is dying. I need your help. And then apostle says, get rid of her. You know, she's nagging us constantly. But look at the perseverance she had. Look at the virtue she was practicing. And then finally, Jesus didn't turn to her, but told apostles, I didn't come to save only the children of Israel. And she heard that. But she didn't say, oh, I'm insulted what you said about me. No, she said, I know. But can I, you know, he said, he was talking about the dogs. And she said, even dogs eat the scraps. Do you see that humility, that humbleness she's approaching him with? She still persevered. And after a while, Jesus turned to her and said, your faith healed you. because His grace is always available. And He told them, look at the woman from Tyre. And here in Matthew, He said, if all these things would happen in Tyre and Sidon, they would long time ago repent in sackcloth and ashes. And if people in the time of Jesus will have a full knowledge, as we do have, about Christ, He would probably say, if we people will have that knowledge, what you have, fullness of revelation from Christ, even death and resurrection, those people will live much stronger life, much, much more by faith than we live today. Maybe He would tell us the same words that they said, you know, it will be easy on the day of the judgment for those people from Tyre and Sidon, for us today. Because He's challenging us, how do we live faith? And they give an example, Sodom and Gomorrah. And He said, if those people will have this knowledge, they would long time ago repent. So it will be easier on the land, it will be more tolerable in the land of Sidon on the day of the judgment. And then He turns to Father and He prays and said this, I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. For although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. He's asking us to be childlike, to have a faith of the child. Child doesn't worry about where he's going to eat and drink because he has a parents and he trusts you. Jesus Christ said, do not worry what you're going to eat and drink. Because my Heavenly Father takes care more of you than birds of the sky or the flowers in the field. Do we have that trust? Now, He didn't say don't worry, but He said don't worry. Have a faith. Have a trust in me. Like a child, like a children. And then He said here an imitation. Like, come to me. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened. Do you feel sometimes burdened? Do you feel like that He is inviting you? Do you feel that He is telling you, I know your struggles, I know your problems, but come to me and I will give you rest. Do you trust Him? What we do in the time of trials and the difficulties, when we have economic disaster, we want to fix the problem immediately. We don't go to God and pray and say, Lord, you are teaching me something here. Let me hear you. We don't do it when the time when we are sick. But we usually seek immediately healing. So, but Jesus is saying, I'll give you rest. And He's saying this, take my yoke upon you and learn from me because I am meek and humble of heart. That's what He wants us to be, meek and humble. He didn't say weak, meek. Other translation says quiet of heart. Meek and humble of heart. Is He powerful? Many times we feel so prideful because we have all this knowledge about church teaching. And Jesus said, that's nothing to me. You know, we feel so powerful. But look here what He said right before. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. He said, all power from the heaven and earth has been given to me. So He is most powerful. He is most knowledgeable. He possesses it all. And yet He's meek and humble. How about us? Are we meek and humble knowing the gifts which God is giving us? So if we use those gifts which He is giving us, all the powers which we have with meekness and humility, then we are going to be Christ-like. We are imitating Christ. Because all what God has given us must be used only for that purpose to lead us to eternal life. If it doesn't, it's not good for us. And then He said, if you will do it, I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find the rest. In English translation, it said to yourself, but He said to your soul. You will find the rest in your soul. In the depth of your heart, you will find the rest. So He wants us to be like Him, to imitate Him. And reality is, if my life doesn't resemble Christ, if my neighbors and co-workers don't even know that I'm Catholic, I guarantee we are not living in full. If they don't even know who we are not living in the fullness. And when you are going to live in the fullness, we are going to have a challenging life because Christ promised it. But He said this about the love and life. You know, in the Matthew chapter, He said, if you love your father, mother more than me, you cannot be my disciples. Very similar in Luke's gospel. Or in Deuteronomy chapter 6, remember that favorite Shema. Shema, when Moses spoke to Israel, and You know, Israel means God's chosen people. So we are God's chosen people, as he's telling to you, Shema, listen to me. Listen, O Israel, listen, my chosen people. I tell you, you shall love your God with all your heart, all your strong soul, and all your strength. Now, with all your heart, it didn't say 90%. It didn't say 50%. And many times what we do, well, I need to be realistic. So I will live in the world, but I live in it for God. No, he means all heart. And when I live it wholeheartedly for God, then I am responding to him. Remember what we are saying, that, and we'll go probably at the end, to understanding that we need to learn to receive. Receive what, because this is not our doing. Remember in this analogy of the sailboat, of a rowing, and intellectual and learning to receive the wind in a sail, that I can go much further because I depend on God. I need to learn to receive. So God is telling us, receive what I am telling you, because I am leading you to ultimate goal, to heaven here. So listen to me. Hear, O Israel. Love me with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and you will love yourself. Because if I respond to it with yes, then I love myself the best way I can love myself, because I am going toward heaven where God is calling me. You know what? Because that's the first commandment. Love your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And second is, do you know what it is? Love your neighbor as yourself. Many of us start with loving neighbor, but that's second. So if I don't have that love from God, if I don't live that fully, then how do I love my neighbor? With what kind of love? If I'm not receiving that, what he is inviting me, that I live 100% with all heart, soul, strength for God, if I love him, then I want my children to love God the same way I want my spouse, because I want the best for them. But if I don't have number one, and I love myself because I love vacations, I love skiing, I love hiking and biking, and I do all these things, and I want my children to have the same thing. So I love them as I love myself, worldly way, not full way. And I give them what I think is good, because I want to give them vacation, I want to give them skiing passes, and I want to lead them to what I like. There was one man who worked with me. He was sharing quite a difficult story, I don't know if I mentioned to you, that he was very poor. And he said his parents divorced, and as a teenager, he always dreamed to have a racing car. But he couldn't afford it because he said, my mom was very poor. She worked the full time, and she couldn't keep up with us four teenagers. He said, I was so poor that when I came home after school, I opened refrigerator. It was full of light, nothing else. Only light in refrigerator. And he said, I couldn't afford to buy a car. But when he grew up, when he got children, he relived the dream in his children. All children did car racing. He gave them car racing. Even girls were mechanics. They always bought the trucks because he was reliving his dream. He loved them as he loved himself. Was he interested about what is their goal, their meaning of life? You know, many times we want to love our children by pouring that love. But remember, Catechism of Catholic Church tells us about marriage. Marriage is for three things. It's Catechism 1601. You can read it. We are here meant for goodness of the spouses, procreation, and education of the children. What is the goodness of the spouses? I need to love my wife such a way that I love her fully and I lead her to heaven. If I love her less, woe to me. If I love myself first, then I love her the same way that I lead her to heaven. Okay, so that's quite challenging understanding of love. That's why Christ says, put me first. Even if you love your life more, if you wish to save your life, you will lose it. And if you will lose it for my sake, then you will find it. Christ promised, come back. And he said in John 15, said, if the world hates you, realize it hated me first. If you would belong to this world, the world would love you, because the world loves its own. 10:22, did I give you it? You will be hated all because of my name. Remember, Jesus said, About the fire, I cannot wait until you think that I came to bring the peace? No, I came to bring the fire, and I cannot wait until it will be burning. And he said, what I'll bring is problem between husband and wife, children and parents, because if you are really seriously to go following Jesus Christ, you don't need to go to Middle East to be persecuted. You will be persecuted many times from your own people. And your family will be divided because you will live the radical faith. Holy Spirit leads us to prayer. Romans tells us we don't even know how to pray. So what do we do in those moments when we are lost? We ask God for revealing to us, teach us, Lord, to pray. Teach us, help us. And the prayer, you know, I spend most of the quotes, I give you most of the quotes, imitating Jesus Christ in the prayer. All these from Luke's gospel are in most important elements of his life. Listen, in this first one, we spend time when we look into life of Christ and his humanity. And he lived for 30 years, quiet life, and then he was baptized. And he went and followed John the Baptist. And he was baptized while he was praying. Holy Spirit came to him and reminded him, you are my beloved son. Okay? That identity was given to him, a reminded identity. He always prayed into those most important points of his life. 6:12. You know, does it happen to you that sometimes you want to meditate on a certain scripture passages and it's just boring? You know, have you ever come to the church when there's a reading of genealogy of Jesus? Yeah. And you, not just you don't understand those names, you cannot even pronounce them, you know. And it's like, oh, how long it's going to go, this gospel is so long. And sometimes they are so brief. One of the daily masses is, and Jesus came home and people said, you are out of your mind. That's it. Whole gospel, 2 sentences. Meditate on that. There's a lot. Hidden, mystical. You know, one of those was John, the Luke 6 gospel, and it's very similar, but it begins with a prayer. And I want to share with you what happened to me a few years ago when I tried to ponder on that. Because here, Jesus Christ is praying, and again, he's praying for a while. And apostles saw him praying, and then he comes up a prayer, and something important happened. He is choosing his 12 apostles. So this is what scripture says. In those days, he departed to the mountains to pray. And he spent the night in a prayer to God. Okay? It's quite striking what he said, a prayer to God. Because many times for us, prayer is, I had one directee a few years ago and he said, for me, prayer was just quiet time when I could use my strategic planning. You know, therefore, what you do in those time of the prayer, you think and analyze your situation so you are not meeting God, you are meeting yourself. Yeah? I will tell you, later we'll talk, I will not go to depth, but Father Chris Hallstrom will tell you more about depth. You know how priests, the future priests are praying in the diocese? They teach them to pray like a pirate. A-R-R-R. Okay, A-R-R-R, it's easy to remember. Why? Because I would divide these two things, that it is first is that, well, I can go backwards, that this is more living in mind, and in, or let's say academic approach, and here is a mystical approach, because I need to come to God, acknowledge what is happening. In prayer, I'm coming toward God, and I acknowledge my situation about life. So I say, Lord, or I need to acknowledge that I am frustrated, or I'm very happy, I'm joyful, or I struggle with certain things. So I acknowledge that. And now I need to relate it to God. So I talk to God and say, Lord, do you see me? Do you see what is happening with my life? I need to come and talk to him. I need to describe to him the situation. You know, not that God doesn't know it, but he asks us to pray. He asks us to say those words of petition. He asks us to seek the relationship. But then the next R is, now you need to wait and receive what God is telling you. First is acknowledge, second is relate. Third is receive, and then you respond to that what you receive. Most of us skip this part. We come, we acknowledge, we relate, and we talk to God, and we respond to that what we talk to ourselves. Therefore, I am not meeting God, I am meeting myself. So if I don't know how to receive, to what I'm responding, that last R? To whom? Many times I go to advisors. Here is another passage which is, starts quite different. Remember when Jesus spoke in the 18th chapter of Luke, when he gave example of two people coming to pray, and one was a Pharisee and another tax collector. Listen how it says in the beginning. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. This is wonderful how he wrote it. One was Pharisee and the other tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position. You know, when you are taking his position, it reminded me, many people, Catholic, have a certain pews where they sit, you know. This is my pew, my position. And we always come because, like, this is my seat. And then Christmas comes and it's taken. And you're like, oh, what are you doing? You know? Because we like to be on a certain spot. And then Easter comes and those people who never come there, they take your spot. Don't you want to get them out of there? Like, Lord, you are so merciful, too bad. Be to me, not to them. But, you know, here is, so he took his spot and he said, he took his position and spoke this prayer to himself. Not to God, to himself. And he said, oh God. So if he's talking to himself, he called himself God. Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like this person. So how do we pray? Do we pray to God? Here prayer tells us in the chapter 6 that he spent night in the prayer to God. When was the last time you spent night in the prayer? And you know what, why he prayed? Because it was an important moment before his life. He was going to choose 12 apostles. He spent a whole night with God. And when he came, when the day came, so obviously whole day, whole night, he called his disciples to himself, and from those he chose 12. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of the Alphaeus, Simon, who was called Zealot, and Judas, the son of the James, Judas Iscariot, who came his betrayal. That's the end of the reading. And now, spend an hour meditating on that. What would you do? You know, sometimes it looks so boring. But God can bring you there. What happened to me? My first thought was, well, there are a bunch of names. But when I come and you spend time in the prayer, but I have no clue what happened in the prayer. But then I said, Lord, but you put those things together. What do you want to reveal to me? And then I put myself in the shoes to be there with him in the night of the prayer. And when I heard this, because Jesus Christ, he's human and God as well. So he knew the fullness of the truth. And picture this. God is saying, you know what, you have 72, and I want you to choose Peter. You know what my first reaction, Peter? Why would you choose Peter? You know he's going to deny you 3 times. I would not choose them. Would you choose on the team somebody? I was talking to God. And you know, I look at Jesus, and he said, not my, but your will be done, Father. I protested. I didn't like it. James and John, I said, hold on. I know the fullness of the story. I know that they know their power and they want to send the fire to burn the Samaria down. Do you know they are called brothers of thunder or some of sons of thunder? Because that's what they wanted to burn Samaria just because they welcomed them. You want such people to put on the, Father, you know what, let me talk you out of that, you know. And then another story came to me. Lord, do you know that they are so greedy? They wanted to sit on the left and right of the side in the kingdom. See, that's who they are. You want such people on the team? Even their mother, back on behalf, the whole family is screwed up, you know. Like, don't take them. Don't take them. So, but Jesus said, Father, not my, but your will be done. Okay, Lord Jesus, let me advise you another. Here. Bartholomew, you know what he said about you? What good can come from Nazareth? He didn't like people from Nazareth. He's racist. You know, he's why would you take somebody who thinks so highly about you that he rejects you in the beginning? I would not take him. But Jesus said, not my your will be done. You know, Thomas, hold on. You want Thomas, doubter? You need people of faith on your team. You need to be conquering the world, you know. Like, but Jesus said, not my, but your will be done, Father. And then, of course, he said, Judas Iscariot, hold on. You, Lord Jesus, don't tell me that. You want betrayal on your team? Why? Why? It doesn't make sense to me. And he said, not my, but your will be done. Next, Matthew, the tax collector next to Jews, they're going to kill each other. You know, you would never put those people together, would you? How do you choose your team? You know, when I speak even to many Catholic organizations, do you pray? Why did you choose these people on your board of directors? Well, they are rich. Yeah. Why did you choose? Well, he's known everywhere. You know, I talked to one bishop and he said, oh, I didn't know you were on the board of this organization. I said, well, they just put my name because I'm popular. So we choose people just to attract me. Do we really pray? Do we pray? Do we spend in those most important situations of our life, whether I'm taking the job or I am taking a new position, whatever, do I spend time in the prayer? I say, Lord, do you want me to take these people, to be with these people, or do I go there just because of the money or because of the prestige or because of anything else? So why it is to, how to imitate Christ? There is a lot of the stories which you can take home and ponder on that. That's enough just to go through this. Again, there is a plenty of those things. Follow Jesus Christ and allow him to speak to you personally. Personally, he will touch you, that you will hear him to inviting you deeper. Because if we stay in our head, we may suffer with what Paul suffered originally. Do you know the story of St. Paul? St. Paul, he was follower of God in his own mind. When he spoke about what we boast about, remember the second topic was that we all will be knowing Christ. And we spoke about knowing God. He said, kingdom of the eternal life that we may come to know God and the Jesus Christ whom we sent. The word know is intimate knowledge. Adam knew Eve and she conceived. Mary said, I don't know the man, how it can happen. Intimately to know him. Well, many times we know about God and we take the law into our hands and we want to follow it. That's what Paul was doing. Paul understood he was a Pharisee. He knew the law. He studied everything. And for him, law was the best thing. He was a zealous person for God and he was not trying to be evil. In his mind, persecuting Christian, he was convinced he is serving God. He was not doing it with evil desire, but with internal persuasion, he is following God, law, and he is serving him. Yet Jesus said, there will be time when people will kill you, believing that they are serving God, trusting. So when Paul was trying to explain people what is the greatest meaning, it is in Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, he said, I don't count much on this area and that area because I was there. And he said, many people boast into that. Well, I have a college degree from that university and that Christian, and I finished biblical school and I finished all these things. And you know what? If you don't know him, what is it good for? Listen, what he said, if anyone can boast and have confidence in the flesh, it's me. It's me. Look at me. Look at me. And historically, circumcised on an eighth day, according to the Jewish law, done, checked. Second, he said, the race of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. My parents went all the way back to the Benjamin, the children of son of Jacob, Israel. Hebrew of Hebrews, both parents, pure breed, you know, Jewish. In observance of the law, Pharisee. In a zeal, I persecuted church. In righteousness, based on the law, I was blameless. Number one. But he persecuted Christian. He was so zealous. But then he said, but whatever gains I had, these I have come to consider loss because of Christ. More than that, even I consider everything a loss because of supreme good. You know what is the supreme good? knowing Christ personally, intimately, experientially. I consider that loss, he said, knowing Christ, Jesus Christ, for the sake of his, I accepted loss of all things, and I consider them much rubbish, because it's more to gain Christ than to know all that law. So he is telling us, even Paul, and you know, the later he's inviting even simple people in Corinthians, he comes to people and said, I want to tell you about this Christ crucified. And people struggle with Christ crucified because we want to have a heroes who are forever living, and he died. And they said, I preach Christ crucified. And he said, but that preaching is obstacle to Jewish people because they lack faith. They want signs. Many of us are like Jewish people. We want signs. I will not move forward unless God revealed to me, unless he appears to me. But he said, go. Well, I need signs. I need something. Many of us live that way. And for pagans, for Greeks, there was foolishness. Why should I follow somebody who is dying, who died? I don't want to have such leader. So, but Paul is trying to tell us that we need to be again like a children. It is right on the beginning to first chapter of Corinthians. And he tells us, remember, listen to your calling. This is the calling from God. What means calling? Calling in Latin is vocatio, vocation. So calling is coming from somebody else than me. Somebody calls me. Is it God? Do I respond to it? Here what he's saying about calling. Consider your own calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise in human standards. Not many were you powerful. Not many were you noble birth. But rather God chose foolish of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak of the world to shame the strong. And God chose the lowly and despised of the world. Chose those who can count for nothing to reduce to nothing those who count for something, who think they are something. So, and he's inviting them little bit and us to deeper. And he said this, I'm coming to you, brothers, proclaiming the mysteries of God. Mysteries. You need to be open to them. I didn't come to you with the sublime words of the wisdom, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and a fear and much trembling. There's no pride in that man. He has tremendous knowledge of the law. At the same time, he came to know God and personally. And God, Christ says, I am meek and humble. Be like me. So he's coming to them in humility. And he said, you don't need to put yourself down because you don't have that old lofty knowledge and the power or noble birth. God take you everywhere where you are. But are you listening to him? Are you hearing him? And he will take you and he will rise you up and he will take you to those mysteries, to those deep moments. Because he said, I speak the words of wisdom to those who are mature, but not the wisdom of the age, nor the rulers of the age or the passing way. Rather, I speak God's wisdom, mysterious, hidden, which God predetermined before the ages, and which none of the rulers of this age have known. If they would know, they will not crucify Jesus Christ. And then he comes and says these words, which we sing so often. Eyes have not seen, ear had not heard, what God has ready for those who love him. That's what he said. That's what come from. He said, I, because he's inviting us to see what we cannot see with eyes, to hear what we cannot hear with ears, because it's the wisdom. It's the wisdom of God. It's a mysterious wisdom. See, he's saying, come, come and follow me. I already found it. I came to know him. Come, know him as well. He's inviting us deeply into mysteries. He said, for this is what God has revealed through the Spirit. And we speak about them not with the words taught by human wisdom, but the words taught by Spirit, describing the spiritual realities in spiritual terms. And he said, now, the natural person who lives merely on an all natural knowledge said he cannot understand them. He cannot even judge everything because he's not a spiritual person. But then he said this, but we have the mind of Christ, do we? How can I have a mind of Christ if I don't spend time with him? This is the Lenten season. We are invited to spend time like Jesus Christ. Look at how many passages you have to meet him there in a prayer. Because Paul said he was absorbed in a prayer. Jesus prayed whole night in a prayer. He went on the mountains to pray. He did everything what he could do to be in union with his Father. Because our battle is precisely that, that will be taken away from the union with God. So, let me just click what I have here for you. Remember, we are talking about the first day, that the main theme is to allow God. Remember, that's the very first word of Jesus Christ. Allow it. Allow me. Allow me to guide you. Allow me to lead you. Second, this is purpose, to dispel common misconception that this deep spirituality, deep prayer is for everyone, not only for a select few. Real purpose of the study of the spiritual life is not to produce scholars, but to be sane. Remember, we are talking about the depth of the heart. Deeper we will go, not just external, deeper psychological, we will go to spiritual. You know, I was telling you a few examples, and I'll give you another few examples. How can somebody go from the something what is superficial, go to deep psychological, and it can affect life tremendously? It is, for example, remember I mentioned to you that some people are such a bronchoholic that when bronchos lose, everything is downhill, and they cannot handle it. But this is how the worldly things affect us. Because it's a surface level, you know, whether bronchos lost or not. But we make the changes of our life. But people who are bronchoholics, like the September is coming, and I said, guys, calling everybody on Wednesday, first game is a Sunday. Guys, are you coming over? Who is bringing beer? Who is bringing pop? And, you know, and organizing everything and prepares already Wednesday. And Saturday, he cleans the house, prepare for the party, make sure the TV works and everything works. Sunday, 3 hours before game, everybody is gathering. And they talk, how about this year? This year, we are going to go Super Bowl. It's going to be better than next year. And, you know, they analyze and talk about football. And then game four goes for 3 hours. Another 3 hours, and Broncos lose. You know what they do after that? They switch channels because everybody analyzed why they lost. Somebody's thinking of a quarterback, no defense was back, and they go through that, and another 3 hours they talk about it. You know, you go to bed and still thinking about why did we lose. In the morning when it goes to the work, turn on the radio, what they talk about? Broncos lost yesterday. And, you know, listen all the way to the work and comes to the work and everybody, how about the Broncos? Don't tell me. What do you think? Oh, I tell you what I think. And it goes on and on until Tuesday and Wednesday. Hold on. Sunday is another game. This time you're going to win. You know, and their preparation, who's bringing beer, and it goes on and on, you know, and 16 weeks are gone because person takes even those things from the superficial level on psychological and spend their whole time, you know. So that can happen to many people. How it can happen, maybe even a different way from the second to the third. There was one priest who was telling me that he told a woman to go and pray with Psalm 23. Do you know Psalm 23? Very popular. God is my shepherd. Isn't it a beautiful song? She came back and she said, I couldn't stand that psalm. And he said, why? And he said, I couldn't read it. I hate that psalm. And he said, what is about that psalm? The image of God is horrible in that psalm. And he said, tell me what is horrible. And she said, this is what it says. With your rod and the staff, you give me courage. And she said, rod and staff are not good things. And he said, why not good things? And he said, why does shepherd have them? To herd sheep. Because he's guiding them. He used the staff to hit them. And he said, where does it say? No, I can see it. And he said, tell me a little bit about the rod. And she said, what do you mean? No, I see authority. I see God as a ruler with a staff and with a with a rod. That's nothing good. And he said, do you have some bad memories? And she said, no, I don't think so. He said, go and pray with it. Why do you see God here as a ruler? She went back and prayed. She came next week and she said, I know exactly. I prayed about it, and I remember when I was a little girl, about 10 years old, we had a teacher who was such a great authority, and he got this stick in his hand, and every single student who disobeyed, he just spanked them, and I was terrified of that. I was terrified, and for me, I started to hate him. And since that time, I hate authority. And any authority is evil to me. And you know, not, that's not true. But in her mind, because of, remember, the second level is the pain and pleasure principle. This is painful. I have a painful memory. So even God for me is a ruler and affects me. He is authority. Therefore, I cannot have a relationship with God. Because that's how we represent it here. Many times those pains affect my relationship with God on a much deeper level. There was one priest who shared with me that how do we have those the joyful moment on second level, which should be actually in a third level. He said, many times I struggled in my priesthood, and, but I felt good on psychological level because I do prayer, Liturgy of the Hours. Priests are obligated to pray five prayers from Liturgy of the Hours. So I did my morning prayer, I did my noon prayers, daily prayers, did my evening and night prayers. I'm a good priest because I never missed that. He felt good. And one day when he was praying, in one of the psalm prayers, I think is night prayer, there is again this the Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus knocking on the door. And he said, as I was praying with that, I saw myself in a house, Jesus knocking on the door, and I was not home. He said, when I came there to pray, that was not my plan, but it came to me. I was not at home. So I said, Lord, why do I have this vision? And he, even though it was like on a psychological level, he said, Lord, I want to come closer to you. Is there something? What do you want to tell me? And there was like a question. Do you think that I would not know that you are not home? Do you think that I would come home and I would be surprised that you are not home? You know what I want to tell you? You are avoiding me in those prayers. I am talking to you through those prayers. Because when he was praying, he realized many times during the prayer, God brought him to mind another priest he struggled with. He had some quarreling situation with another priest, but he didn't want to face it. So he always ignored it. And he finished prayer, because I'm a good priest, I need to finish my prayers. And he said, no, you are trying to justify the way of your prayers because I was knocking on the door of your heart. You were not home. You were not present to me. But once he heard it, he said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he said, you need to go and reconcile with that priest. And he said, because he took it on the third level, what was happening within him, because satisfaction can be on the surface level. I can feel good about being Catholic because I live here and I do the check marks. So I can bring those situations to a deeper level. Another priest shared with me, he was in Italy, in Rome, studying, and he said, we had a seminarian who had a big scapular and had a ton of those holy medals, you know, from all the saints. But he said it was covered, it was heavy. As he was walking, he said it was like a jingle bells, you know, because everybody heard him coming because of a lot of those medals. He was struggling with a fear and a paranoia. And this is somehow how he was fighting the fear on psychological level, trying to superficially overcome the fear which he had by externally putting on himself a lot of things. But in the prayer, he was quite an absence to God. He said, we call him Dan Relling Man, because everybody heard him from the distance to come. So why do I do those things? Many times we do certain prayers. I call and I'm going to pray the novenas because I need protection from God, because I'm responding to the fears. And I can say many words, but I'm not meeting God. One of the greatest novena is the first novena to the Holy Spirit, which began when apostles were told to go up a room and wait for Jesus for 9 days. But that was with goal of expectation meeting Christ. You know, many times we just say those prayers and dedication and novenas and rosaries. And remember what catechism tells us, if your heart is far from God, the words of prayer are in vain. If you don't meet Christ in those mysteries, if it doesn't lead you to a relationship with God, what is it good for? When we, many times on psychological level, we have a certain wounds from the families, from the life. I just spoke today with one man who for years didn't want to go to certain sinful part of his life. He was rejecting it. And he was reading Romans chapter 7. And that inspired him to face it. And he said, I was forced to face it. Why? Because in a psychological level, I have a bad memory. I don't want to go because it will remind me. So I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to face it. I don't want to do it. Anybody knows Christopher West? He was a speaker on the theology of the body. He speaks to married people. He said when he got struggles with his pornography and an addiction to masturbation, he said, when I found the woman I knew I'm going to marry, I started to pray to God. I wanted to go to chapel. And in those moments when I was chapel, in those war situations right before Christ, all these images from pornography were coming to me. And I saw all these pornographic pictures and I said, I don't want to think about it. I want to think about you. And he said, I was fighting it. And he said, I was not meeting God. Because I was fighting, my images were coming to me. Until one day I said, Lord, I can't. I give it to you. You take care of it. So suddenly he focused on God and gave it to him. And started to talk to God about it. You need to help me. You need to take it. So when we have a certain pain situation, we don't want to face it. Yet God is the healer. You know, picture this. Even on an unhealthy situation, imagine that you have fear that you may have a cancer. You may be scared to go to doctor. Why? Why would you be scared to go to doctor?
Because you don't want to know the truth.
You don't want to know the truth, exactly. Yet, what are you going to win or lose with that? You know, there are only three options. You will go to doctor, and you may find out that you were wrong. What a relief, yeah?
Relief.
Yeah, what a relief. Secondary, you may find out that you were right. But you can start treatment. Or you may find out that even treatment is not going to work. But you can have a great knowledge where you're going, that you are going to meet your maker. And you can prepare for that. But if we are fearing, we deny it, and we will be dying and suffering because we don't want to meet God who is a healer. So many, you know, the reality is that we all desire intimacy. We all want to have intimate friends. This is the greatest desire, and yet to be intimate with somebody else is the greatest fear. Why? Because of betrayal. Because we, when we become intimate with others, we are afraid, but not with God. It is important for us to be free and to enter into depth of our heart, to meet God. You know, when we talk about the prayer and action, I realize that God was teaching us how to approach Him. And what is the most important? When God is giving us 10 commandments, there are actually those two major commandments that are summarized in one. Yeah? Because the first three speaks about God. I need to put God first. Yeah? I am your God. You shall not have other gods besides me. You should not take God's name in vain and honor Sabbath. And then if I follow those first three, I can be good to my neighbor. I will not kill, I will not steal, I will not commit adultery, because I put God first. If I don't put, that is socialism, communism. Take God away and let's be good. You cannot be good without God. It's impossible. That's what communism taught us. We still can feed the hungry, clothe the naked, but don't mix your religion with our social services. You know, so when Jesus Christ was teaching us to pray our Father prayer, you know what he said? First put God, our Father, focus on Him who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. That's the first petition, that his name will be holy. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. That's what we ask first. And then we put ourselves, give us this day our daily bread. When did you ever see the movie Ostrov or Island? The Russian monks is very deep, profound, spiritual. It's one of the greatest movies which I ever seen, religious movies. Ostrov, Island. There was a man who got gifts from God healing people. And people were brought to him. But you know what? There was a woman that brought the child who couldn't walk. He went through many surgeries. He first came to God and said, glory to you, Father. Glory to you, Son. I praise you. I glorify your name. And for 15 minutes, doing nothing but giving glory to God. Getting in union with God. And after 15 minutes, he turned to the healing of his son, of her son. You know what? It is important to put God first. When I was growing up, we pray the prayer before meals. I was quite struck when I came to America. Do you know who you put first in when you pray before meal? Bless us, O Lord. We put us first. You know how we prayed? You know, you can find it in Psalm 104 on Psalm 145. Because it speaks about everybody dependent on God. You need to understand that God is revealing to us. In 104, it goes a little further because it says that he feeds everything and he takes the breath away and everything died. And then he renewed the spirit and everything becomes alive. So eyes of all look hopefully to you, and you give them food in due season. You, O Lord, open wide your hands and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, which you are about to receive. But first is God. When you look at the religious people in Old Testament, God was always first. Let us put him first. Let us bring everything first to him that we can grow in the knowledge of him. Remember again, just briefly, if our hearts are far from God, how much time we have, words of prayer are in vain. So let's go into depth of our hearts. Here I want to mention to you from last week that heart is a dwelling place where I am, where I live. According to Semitic and biblical expression, heart is the place to which I withdraw. Heart is the hidden center beyond the grasp of reason, is above it. And others, only Spirit of God can fathom the human heart and know it fully. The heart is the place of decision, deeper than our psychic drive. It is the place of truth, where I meet God, because he is the truth, where I choose life or death. It is the place of encounter, union with God, because as image of God, we live in relationship. A relationship with God is a place of covenant. Covenant is what? Free, mutual, total giving of self to another for life. That's a covenant. It's, again, free, mutual, and total giving of self to life. Remember, we are singing these songs. I probably don't have time, but I told you, pray this song. Pray this song, not just sing it, because in this song, you are telling God to take you beyond your wants, beyond your fears. It is beautiful to sing just melody, but to pray it is much different. We can pray this prayer. We can pray this song because it is Psalm 23 again. It is beautiful to receive those words and the promises which God is giving to us. Again, just briefly, we have a battle in the prayer. Catechism 27-25 tells us, prayer is gift from God and grace, and a determined response on our part. It always presupposes effort. We need to have the effort to go toward God. We need to go out of the business of our life toward Him. But, he said, by the great figures of the prayer, Old Testament and New Testament, before Christ, as well as Mother of God and saints, and He Himself, Christ Himself, all teach us prayer is a battle. Against whom? First, against ourselves. And against vials of the temper, who does all he can to turn men away from prayer, turn men away from union with God, that we will not meet him in the depth of our heart. That's what he will do, anything that's to turn us away. We pray as we live, because we live as we pray. Our life should reflect it. So, again, that's where we need to go, the depth of our heart. Let me tell you something else. Remember this, we were talking about Isaiah 53, meeting Christ. There was a beautiful song which I wanted to play with you, and I don't know if we have time for that. But meet him there. Meet him humility, humbleness, and understand that he was pierced for our sins, Christ for our iniquity. He bore the punishment that makes us whole. By his wounds we are healed. He is good shepherd, he's guiding us, he's telling us he died for us. I found a beautiful song. It was prayed when the Holy Father visited Armenia. This is, if you will understand the Aramaic language, but look at these people, they are praying this song. In the Russian Orthodox Church, there is no instruments, only voices. But this is Isaiah 53. Look in how they pray that psalm. I cannot put louder. Beautiful, beautiful psalm, beautiful prayer. Again, I want to share something else with you. Many times we pray, even during the Mass, the words of the prayer, because they come to us so often, we just say it only mechanically. In our prayers, our life, we say to God, it is our duty and our salvation always and everywhere to give thanks. Do we always and everywhere give thanks? You know, when the Holy Father John Paul II was in America, he got a synod of America's bishops, all South and the North of America. And he said that we need to help each other. And I heard many people from North America saying how they can help us. Come on, we are a strong nation. We are a most powerful nation. And he told them, you know how? In your life, you take Jesus Christ to your closed houses, you shut the door, and that's where you live your faith. They are strong enough to take it to the streets. They celebrate the feast. When it's the feast of a Blessed Mother, they take the statue to the street and they celebrate and they dance. When it's the Eucharistic procession, they go out to the streets. We do it in closed churches, in closed houses. We are not strong enough to go out to the street and celebrate. Few years ago, there was a big persecution in the Middle East. You know, there's a lot of refugees going and escaping from Iraq, Iran, and those places. And everybody felt very good trying to help those people. And people pulled the money and sent $10, $20. And my sister was in Poland. And she, too, was on a mission with one priest. And he said, world doesn't realize that it is God teaching us in the West through their life how to live the faith. Because they have three choices. You either become a Muslim, deny God, or you will be killed, or you need to lose everything, they would not deny Christ. They were willing to do anything. And there was one little girl, I should have one video and I will finish it with this, because she was in the immigration camp. And here's the story with her. She's 10 years old, I'll go back to it. She's 10 years old and she lost everything. And here's an interview with a guy who is from some TV, a TV show for children. And she is sharing her faith. And I hope that it will speak to us. It's in Aramaic, but there are subtitles. Learn from that, because that girl knows what it means to give thanks God in all circumstances. Isn't it a beautiful story? God is teaching us through his babies how to trust in God. He's telling us, I'm with you, you need to trust me. And sometimes through his little children, she's teaching us here. We can send her $10, but that can help her somehow materially. But what she gave us, what she gave to the world, is much more than we can give many times. So I know that we went a little over time. Let us finish with a prayer. And give thanks to God that he's inviting us to depth and relationship and knowing him, that is our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give him thanks, because that's the way how we'll come to know him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.